like a big thick door, plumbing and all, ushering me into the vestibule. It's all a bit like a badly funded B-movie remake of some 60s Hollywood spy thriller. A couple of months ago, I asked Boris why we bothered with it, but he just chuckled and told me to ask Angleton, meaning, bugger off. The wall closes behind me, and a hidden solenoid bolt unlocks the stall door. The toilet monster consumes another victim. I put my hand in the ID scanner, collect my badge from the slot next to it, and step across the red line on the threshold. It's another working day at Capital Laundry Services, discreet cleaning agents to the government. And guess who's in hot water? First stop, my office. If you can call it an office, it's a sort of niche between a row of lockers and a herd of senile filing cabinets into which the facility's gnomes have jammed a plywood desk and a swivel chair with a damaged gas strut. I drop my coat and jacket on the chair, and my computer terminal whistles at me. You have mail. No shit, Sherlock. I always have mail. It's an existential thing. If I don't have mail, it would mean that something is very wrong with the world, or maybe I've died and gone to bureaucratic hell. I'm a child of the wired generation, unlike some of the suits hereabouts who have their secretaries print everything out and dictate their replies for an audio typist to send. There is also a cold, scummy cup of over-milked coffee on my desk. Marsha's been over-efficient again. A yellow post-it note curls reproachfully atop one of my keyboards. Meeting, 9:30 a.m., CT room, B4. Hell and damnation. Why didn't I remember? I go to meeting room, B4. There's a red light showing, so I knock and wave my badge before entering, just in case security is paying attention. Inside, the air is blue. It looks like Andy's been chain-smoking his foul French fags for the past couple of hours. Yo, I say. Everyone here? Boris the Mole looks at me stonily. You're late. Harriet shakes her head. Never mind. She taps her papers into a neat stack. Had a good sleep, did we? I pull out a chair and slump into it. I spent 6 hours being one with a shrubbery last night. There were 3 cloudbursts and a rain of small and very confused frogs. Andy stubs out his cigarette and sits up. Well, now we're here. He looks at Boris inquiringly. Boris nods. I try to keep a straight face. I hate it when the old guards start playing stiff upper lip. Jackpot. Andy grins at me. I nearly have a heart attack on the spot. You're coming to the pub tonight, Bob. Drinks on me. That was a straight A for results. C plus for field work. Overall, grade B for execution. I thought I made a mess going in. No. If it hadn't been a semi-covert, you'd have had to burn your shoes. But apart from that, well, 0 witnesses, you found the target, there's nothing left, and Dr. Denver is about to find himself downsized and in search of a job somewhere less sensitive. He shakes his head. Not a lot more to say, really. But the security guard could have... The security guard was fully aware there was going to be a burglary, Bob. He wasn't going to move an inch, much less see anything untoward or sound the alarm, lest spooks come out of the woodwork and find him crunchy and good with ketchup. It was a setup, I say disbelievingly. Boris nods at me.
It's a good setup.
Was it worth it? I ask. I mean, I just wiped out some poor bastard's last 6 months of work. Boris sighs mournfully and shoves an official memo at me. It's got a red and yellow chevron-striped border and the phrase, Most Secret Destroy Before Reading, stamped across its cover. I open it and look at the title page. Some notes toward a proof of polynomial completeness in Hamiltonian networks, and a subtitle, Formal Correctness Report. One of the departmental theorem-proving oracles has been busy overnight. He duplicated the Turing result.
Most regrettably, says Boris.
Harriet nods. You want to know if last night was worth it? It was. If you hadn't succeeded, we might have had to take more serious measures. That's always an option, you know, but in general we try to handle such affairs at the lowest possible level. I nod and close the folder, shove it back across the table toward Boris. What next? Timekeeping, says Harriet. I'm a bit concerned that you weren't available for debriefing on schedule this morning. You really need to do a bit better, she adds. Andy, who I think understands how I tick, keeps quiet. I glare at her. I just spent 6 hours standing in a wet bush and breaking into someone else's premises, after putting in a full day's work in preparation. I lean forward, getting steamed. In case you've forgotten, I was in at 8 in the morning yesterday, then Andy asked me to help with this thing at 4 in the afternoon. Have you ever tried getting a night bus from Croxley to the East End at 2 in the morning when you're soaked to the bone, it's pouring wet, and the only other people at the bus stop are a mugger and a drunk guy who wants to know if you can put him up for the night? I count that as a 20-hour working day with hardship. Want me to submit an overtime claim? Well, you should have phoned in first, she says waspishly. I'm not going to win this one, but I don't think I've lost on points. Anyway, it's not really worth picking a fight with my line manager over trivia. I sit back and yawn, trying not to choke on the cigarette fumes.
Next on the agenda, says Andy. What to do with Malcolm Denver, PhD? Further action is indicated in view of this paper. We can't leave it lying around in public. Cuts too close to the bone. If he goes public and reproduces it, we could be facing a level one reality excursion within weeks. But we can't do the usual brush and clean either. Oversight would have our balls. Ahem. He glances at Harriet, whose lips are thin and unamused. Could have us all cooling our heels for months in a diversity awareness program for the sensitivity impaired. He shudders slightly, and I notice the red ribbon on his lapel. Andy is too precious by half for this job, although, come to think of it, this isn't exactly the most mainstream posting in the civil service.
Anyone got any suggestions? Constructive ones, Bob.
Harriet shakes her head disapprovingly. Boris just sits there, being Boris. Boris is one of Angleton's sinister gophers. I think in a previous incarnation he used to ice enemies of the state for the Ohrana, or maybe served coffee for Beria. Now he just imitates the Berlin Wall during internal inquiries. Andy taps his fingers on the desk.
Why don't we make him a job offer?
I ask. Harriet looks away. She's my line manager, nominally, and she wants to make it clear that this suggestion does not come with her approval.